Et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. The second reading today, St. Paul talks about the fact that we've been justified by faith, so therefore we can be at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He then goes on to talk about the fact that faith gives us access to the grace and to the hope. And then he goes on to talk about hope leading us to charity, how hope does not disappoint because the charity of God has been poured forth into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And we look at that and we can understand how one moves to the next. We also, however, need to recognize exactly how St. Paul tells us that this happens. He talks about how we can exult in the hope and the glory of the sons of God, but he said we exult in the tribulations also. Now I realize most of us probably don't. When hardships come upon us, praise of God probably isn't the first thing on our lips. Sometimes what comes out of our mouths when there are things that are difficult makes us go to confession. And so we have some work to do. Because on one hand, we can look at that then and say, well, I have faith, but where's my hope? Because if I have hope, St. Paul tells us what's going to happen. Tribulation works out endurance, and endurance tried virtue, and tried virtue, hope. Therein lies the problem. We haven't developed the virtue of hope as yet, which is why we whine and complain and do other things that we shouldn't be doing when there are difficulties that come. So those difficulties then, St. Paul is telling us, are the very things that are preparing us, strengthening us, and ultimately bringing about virtue in us. And the virtue it's bringing is that virtue of hope, she tells us, doesn't disappoint, because the love of God, the charity of God, has been poured into our hearts. Now again, we look at that and say, what does that mean? How would hope not disappoint because the love of God has been put into our hearts? It's the love of God that is put into our hearts that not only fulfills what hope and charity bring us to, but it's also that love of God which is what allows us to see things from a different perspective, to see the tribulations and the struggles and the difficulties that lead to hope. And so even though charity is the greatest of all of the virtues and everything leads to it, we also have to then turn it the other way and recognize that it is that charity that is going to be the foundation for the growth in the other virtues. While we can grow on the natural level in various virtues, if we want to grow in the supernatural virtues, it's going to require grace. And that's going to require having the love of God, having the proper motive for those virtues. That's exactly what St. Paul is getting at. Hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured into our hearts. So yes, we have the ability to look forward with hope to the union with God, to the fulfillment of that love of God. But it is also then that love of God which is going to give us the grace to be able to rejoice in the tribulations, in the struggles, in the sufferings of life. So that's what all of us have to really look at. Are we cooperating with God in what he's trying to do in our lives? God wants you to be a saint. And I suspect he's giving you lots of opportunities to practice. How are you doing? Is your life filled with rejoicing? Because God is giving you these sufferings so that you can grow in holiness? Well, that would be nice if that's what's happening. I haven't really heard that from very many people, but maybe that's because people at that level aren't going to brag about the fact that they're rejoicing in the sufferings. But just think first about what comes out of your mouth. And then even if you've been able to learn to control the tongue, What's going on in your head? What's going on in your heart? Is it grumbling, murmuring? Those are important words for all of us to know. Because you go back into the book of Exodus, and the people grumbled and they murmured against God. And then you look in the sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel, the very chapter on which Jesus is going to, gives us this teaching on the Holy Eucharist. He feeds the 5,000, he walks across the water, he does all these extraordinary things. And what did the people do? They murmured and they grumbled against him. Are we any different? Remember, it was the murmuring and the grumbling against God that cost the people in the desert the ability to enter into the promised land. Think about that. Earlier on, they made a golden calf and worshiped the blasted thing. That didn't cost them getting into the promised land. Obviously, on the surface, a way, way bigger sin than murmuring and grumbling. It's false worship. It's an idol. It's a violation of the first commandment. But I guess at that point, they didn't have the commandments yet. Moses was up on the top of the mountain getting them. But then in the desert, after they had been through enough, they murmured and they grumbled and they complained. And that cost them entrance into the promised land. So we look at it and think, oh, my grumbling and complaining, it's an imperfection, it's not a big deal. Yeah, look at it. Look back in Exodus, look in St. John, look at where the grumbling and complaining gets people. It has serious effects. But then if we can look at it the other way, and we can see that what God is doing in our souls is purifying us, helping us to grow in holiness, making us saints, then we can do what St. Paul says that we're supposed to be doing. And in fact, he's just taking it for granted. We rejoice in our tribulations. He's not suggesting that we maybe ought to if we can get to that point. He's saying that's what we do. Do we? Well, most of us probably not. So something to really think about. But it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that this is done. It's not by ourselves, because by ourselves, when tribulations come, they're not pleasant, they're not fun, they're not exciting. There's no cause for rejoicing in them. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, who allows us to see things from a different perspective, there is cause for rejoicing because we see what God is doing. We understand what he's doing. He's helping our faith and our hope and our charity to grow. That's why we can rejoice. That's why we do rejoice, St. Paul is telling us. So a great thing for all of us to pray about, to look at, and beg God. Again, notice what St. Paul is saying. He's not saying this will be given through the Holy Spirit. He's saying it is. It's already there. It's in your heart already. So it's not something you have to go searching for. You just need to go inside and you need to beg God for the grace to cooperate with the Holy Spirit who has been poured out into your heart, so that the faith and the hope and the charity, the three theological virtues, are going to be truly being lived in our lives. What a glorious thing it would be if that was actually happening for us, to live a holy life, to live as saints in this world. It's not beyond us. By ourselves, yeah, it is. But the Holy Spirit has been given to us. And so what is a saint? One who is conformed to God. One who loves God. That's what's been given. The Holy Spirit is the love of God, and he has been poured into our hearts so that we can live this way. So something again to ponder. Look at that reading. It's from the fifth chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Romans, right at the very beginning, the first five verses. Maybe take that to prayer. Really look seriously at that. And then ask yourself, how should I respond when difficulties come? And why should I respond that way? But I guess the question that has to come before that is, do I really want what St. Paul is talking about? Do I want to grow in those virtues? Do I want to be holy? Do I want to live according to God's way? Then God has done absolutely everything to give us what we need to do it. We have the Holy Spirit, we have the faith, we have the hope, we have the charity. Now we just need to cooperate with that grace so that we can become the people that God created us to be.